With regards to the access to storage inside or out when the objective design standards, item number 5.
Absolutely. So we've made a lot of changes with objective design standards, one of those being some changes to storage to try and make it more functional for residents. So we did propose that it be accessed from the outdoors, and that's the way it's written in the code and the way it was proposed at the last meeting. Certainly, I believe everybody expressed an interest in bringing the objective design standards back when we've implemented a couple to see what's working and what's not. So we'll definitely keep our eyes on the storage requirement and see if any changes need to be made at a future date.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you tracking that. And then perhaps Director Rangel, you can speak to the question regarding reserves.
Yes, certainly. It's a great question. So at the end of each fiscal year, whatever we have that's outside of what we budgeted, that automatically goes back into the general fund reserve. So it is kind of the bank that's holding those excess funds. We tend to be very conservative with our budgeting and tend to be pretty conservative with our expenses. So typically we have what you call excess at the end of the year that goes back into the reserve fund.
Thank you very much. All right, I'll ask my colleagues, is there anyone on the council wishing to pull an item or comment on an item? Seeing none, I will look for a motion.
I'll move approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second.
A motion by Mayor Pro Tem Funk, a second by Councilmember Darris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes 4-0 with with Councilmember Newsom absent.
All right, we're now on to updates from the city manager, Mr. Lewis.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor, members of council. I appreciate it. Happy to share. First, let's start out with some good news and a little fun. So the Atascadero Lakeside Wine Fest was incredible. We had a sold-out event. I understand there was 1,400 ticket sales and over 150 volunteers. Largest turnout ever. Weather was great. The zoo was a big star with the roar and pour experience. We had our education animals out, and everything was just looking great. People were having a good time. So many people wandering as I listened hadn't been to the zoo or had questions about it. And so it was great to see that interest in the zoo. And I hats off to Josh Cross in the chamber. I see him sitting there. Thank you for a terrific wine festival. I know you and your family and your volunteers and your board worked very hard on that. And they do contribute a portion of proceeds from that to the zoo. So it actually works out as a fundraiser as well. Saturdays in the Park, the upcoming band is the Senders Blues Band on June 29th at 6:30. Make sure to bring your low back chair or blanket and bring your wallet for food and purchases from our vendors. This isn't in my script, so I got to go off a little bit on this, which I know staff appreciates. But the Kiwanis Mayor's Winemaker Dinner was Friday night. I said it, Jeff. You were all there, and I appreciate how supportive and active you are of your community. Many of you in the audience were there. But just to remember, you know, we've had some news about what our community stands for, and I saw what it stands for. We raised $160,000 for El Camino Homeless Organization. That's who we are, and we care about people and have compassion, and I was proud to be a small part of that along with all of you. Next slide I have, fireworks are prohibited in Atascadero, so especially this time of year. So please, on the 4th of July, we will be looking for fireworks. It is very dry, and it is not safe. If anyone's caught lighting or in possession of fireworks, including safe and sane, you will be cited and fined. So please find other safer places to watch fireworks shows. Not here, please. We do have extreme fire danger. We wish the community a memorable 4th of July and want people to be safe. But what you can do on the 4th of July that is safe, the Atascadero 4th of July Music Festival will be free. It's here, free to attend, at Lake Park from 4 to 8. And there's two great musical acts, the Bremen Town and Ragtop Band, plus food and drinks for purchase. And the paddle boat, Surrey Bikes, will be out. And I understand the fish will be biting good that day. So it's a good day to be out at the lake with your family. The event is presented by the Atascadero Prunery Foundation as a fundraiser for Colony Days. So do go out and enjoy the lake that afternoon. Let me give some road updates. So I wish to continue to pray for the community's patience and grace. These are improvements in our future. We're getting there. And we just need to look forward to how well we will circulate when these projects are done. To accelerate that, though, we want to be sensitive to construction schedules, and so we are trying when we have portions of the project that really are disruptive and need to be done quickly and in a consistent manner. Rarely will we authorize night work. And so on Wednesday, June 26th, and the Thursday morning, June 27th, we have authorized night work at 9 p.m. on June 26th and to Thursday morning, June 27th. The work will be 8 hours to complete. If we didn't do it then, it would cause incredible disruptions to the intersection and to the freeway off-ramps. On Wednesday, June 26th, we'll be minimizing impacts to public vehicular traffic and the wastewater system, so we are doing the public improvements at that time with a new sewer access hole and a lateral connection. During construction, one lane of traffic in each direction will be maintained on El Camino, with the center of the roadway closed to allow for construction. We will be having response so traffic control supplied, and residents are asked to be respectful of construction workers. It is late. Same thing regarding El Camino and the safety and parking enhancement project. We recognize there is some work being done this week. There were some holes out there and a lot of dirt and a lot of gravel, and we're doing our best to mitigate that. Next Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday nights, the contractor will be working in the El Camino Real trafficway intersection. So again, these are nights. This intersection gets so impacted during the day. And so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we have authorized night work for that work to get it done. No work will be on the 4th or 5th of July, so we want to make sure that those will be holidays for people. You can find out what we're doing and where we are at atascadero.org/ECR project. I do want to just share that we have staff out there walking it every day. I've walked it a couple times this week. Philip at Engineering is our on-site construction manager. If you see something that's concerning to you or you have a suggestion or a question, feel free to ask. We want to make sure people understand what's going on. If you have a suggestion for how perhaps we can control traffic in a way that you think might be more efficient or wonder why we're controlling traffic a certain way, reach out to us. We want to make sure we're answering questions and getting all suggestions from the business community, motorists, et cetera. So we are working through this. It's not every year we tear up El Camino like this, so we appreciate people's patience and also input. That said, we are going to have hot El Camino cruise night, and registration is now open. So make sure your tires and shocks are good on your classics. I'll be out there with the 57 T-Bird driving in it. So 31st annual hot El Camino cruise night, and it's Friday, August 16th from 6:30 to 8:30 cruising weekend. So it will be, as usual, down El Camino Real. Passes are limited, so this is one of those things people wait, and then they're gone. So you want to make sure you get in and get your pass. You have to go to the Colony Park Community Center to register. It's $30 per car. So for event information and all city-sponsored events, the zoo, and things to do, go to visit atascadero.com. For city business, you can go to atascadero.org. I do want to end on a bit more serious note and just share from on behalf of the staff, and I know many of you feel the same exact way. What we had to be subject to at our last meeting was disgusting, and it was totally inappropriate and difficult. And so I did consult with the mayor and Mayor Pro Tem and made the decision that we would not allow for Zoom comments. It's unfortunate for the responsible public that uses that as a convenient way to call in, but we will not be having Zoom comments until we have better protocol and have really thought this through. So I'm sorry the community, the council, the staff, and the community had to weather through that, and it will not occur this evening. So thank you, Mayor and Council.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Any questions that anyone has on the city manager's report? Seeing none, we will move on to our community forum. This is the portion of our meeting reserved for persons who are wishing to address the council on something that is not under our agenda, but over which we have jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we open up community forum for a total of up to 30 minutes. And we ask that you come forward, please state your name for the record, and we will have the timer going so you can see where you are in that 3-minute limit. And welcome to our first speaker.
Resident of Atascadero, not afraid to show my face or use my real name. I want to thank everyone that came out a week ago Sunday to our first ever Gay Pride Festival in Atascadero. The final count that I was told was 2,000 people showed up. We had 30 vendors, not a protester in sight. I want to personally thank everyone from the city that helped us make this such an amazing event. If you were there, you felt the love and you saw our community come together openly and lovingly. And for the people that didn't show up, we do vote in November, and we know who you are.
Welcome, next speaker.
My name is Tori Keene. California Penal Code Section 422.6 states, "No person, whether or not acting under color of law, shall by force or threat of force willfully injure, intimidate, interfere with, oppress, or threaten any other person in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him or her by the Constitution or laws of this state or by the Constitution or laws of the United States in whole or in part because of one or more of the actual or perceived characteristics of the victim listed in Subdivision A of Section 422.55. This includes the characteristics of sexual orientation. The comments made at the last City Council meeting clearly fall under this section and could and should be considered a crime. The City of Atascadero had the opportunity to clearly declare that hate speech, as defined by the State of California, has no place in our city discourse, and they failed spectacularly. The City of Atascadero had the opportunity to support and protect marginalized members of our city, and they failed spectacularly. To say I am disappointed in the leadership of my city is an understatement of the highest degree. I am disheartened the city would not stand up in the face of blatant bullying. I am frustrated there are members of our city who are still victims of this abuse and harassment, and the people who have been voted into positions of power who are supposed to represent all of us. All the residents of this city allowed this to happen without even an admonishment. And let's be clear, the official statement released by this city in response to the events of the last City Council meeting were not even close to an admonishment. To express that the statements made at that meeting were anything other than hate speech is preposterous. To say they are excused by free speech is not only excusing this behavior, but encouraging it to happen again. The official statement released by the City of Atascadero stated their, quote, priorities are on the services that local government commonly provides and that benefit all, such as public safety, end quote. So please tell me, Mayor Moreno and council members, how are you doing that when you allowed a grown adult to tell a child that she should go kill herself? Is she not part of the public? Does she not deserve to feel and be safe in the town where she lives? I implore this city to recognize their mistake and to have the fortitude and strength to acknowledge it and make up for it by recognizing June as Pride Month, issuing an apology to the members of the community who experienced the hatred spewed at the last City Council meeting, and make it clear that we will not stand for this kind of speech in our city. And frankly, it's the very least you can do. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Keene. Please, this waving is great. Thank you. Welcome to our next speaker.
How's it going, guys? My name is Randy Carminetti, and I have way different topics to talk about. Three things I wanted to chat about. Safety of people walking around the lake park. I live at the lake park now. I've lived there since January. And it seems that we could do better about the walk path and slowing vehicles down. I have two young boys. They walk with me all the time. I'm always very nervous of the speed of vehicles more towards the side of the pavilion than the other, so I think that's Marchant, than the other side, but the other side needs a lot of repairs. That's one. Two, I also walk up to ECR from the lake as well, and between about Santa Rosa School to the lake, it's kind of sketchy walking through, especially as cars are coming over that hill, and I see a lot of people also walking in the street right there because the walk path is horrible. So if we could do something about that, great. And last but not least, I just recently went to Heilman Park, and I think this is out of your jurisdiction, potentially. And if it is, we should change that because we could do so much better than the county does about that park. It's falling apart, and it's horrible. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. Devin Hagg again. I just wanted to address one quick thing. The 101 northbound off-ramp right next to the Chevron gas station there, it's all blocked off with fencing to keep homeless people out. The only thing I ask is if you guys require us to maintain our weeds, to cut our weeds down for fire hazard, if I can ask the city for the same thing, if we can maybe at least cut that grass in that section right there. Not only that, but you have a homeless population right on the other side of the fence that will definitely like to catch that on fire. That's all. Thank you for your...
Thank you, sir. Welcome, next speaker.
Jeff Hoslin, once again, a resident business owner of our great city of Atascadero. A few things. When it comes to the ECR work that's been going on, I will tell you that the contractor happens to be SUSE. They've been incredibly responsive to some traffic problems on in the downtown. Like, they were running to fix problems when they were notified. So they should be commended for what they've done, and I think they're doing a terrific job. I think our city's doing a very good job in managing this project. With some nighttime closures, which is a brilliant move. I would like clarification on July 4th weekend. Our city manager said no work the 4th and 5th. I'm assuming that's the entire weekend, 6th and 7th, which is probably a really good move based on that we might have some tourists in town and folks going to the Lake Park for the 4th of July festivities that seem to go all weekend. As far as Del Rio goes, that's been pretty well flowing, and I'm glad we're doing the night work and we're not messing traffic up. I think we're doing a very good job managing these things, and as tough as it is, and sometimes it takes 15 minutes to get through that intersection, but that's because 101 was a mess. We still have done really, really well, and we should be commended for what we're doing, and when it's done, it's going to be pretty phenomenal on that side of town. Also regarding fiscal responsibility. The reason I asked the question on the other was because our city is extremely fiscal and has great spending and keeps things in check. We're one of the cities that actually does a really good job. We manage our funds well. We do a great job managing our D20 and F14 and D20 or vice versa. And funds, so our road improvements are definitely coming great. Our retention with our city staff has come a long way, and that includes police and fire, but also public works and those that work in City Hall as well. What we're able to do with this city and our funds has been great over the last few years, and I think we sometimes don't say enough about what reserve funds are used for and how we pay them back, and that it's a temporary spend gap. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak, please come forward.
Yes, my name is David Ledger. I live in Redding, California, but I lived here like 60 years ago. And I've been down here for 3 weeks looking for a home, either here or in Paso Robles. First of all, I want to commend you for taking away that remote comments on different issues, because it can get out of hand. I know some city councils, they let people read somebody else's statement at a meeting. But anyway, I really commend you for doing that. Also, I figured there would be people here talking about the Salinas River and the mountain bikes there, and I'm a really strong environmentalist, so I'm kind of surprised that a parent would be openly encouraging his kids to trespass and, you know, harm the environment of the Salinas River. So I would encourage you to continue to try to enforce the no trespassing laws along the river. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ledger. Anyone else wishing to speak for a community forum? Come forward. No? Last chance. All right. Community forum is now closed. And while topics of conversation that are brought up don't become a subject for us to discuss tonight, I do triage things as we can. with regards to Ms. Keene mentioned a particular penal code, and perhaps I could ask our city attorney to address that comment.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Penal Code Section 422.6 has a provision in it that requires the use of force or the apparent use of force for it to be considered a crime and that the district attorney would charge. The Department of Justice put out a bulletin on that issue some time ago as to what was necessary for a district attorney to prove to get a violation of that. The city doesn't have the power to charge someone with that. They can only do an investigation and refer it to the district attorney's office. So the city has done what it can do in terms of closing off the Zoom public comment to try to avoid a subsequent occurrence of it, but the district attorney would be the one that would have to make any charges of a violation of Penal Code 422.6.
Okay, thank you very much. And to those of you that were subject, along with the rest of us, to 2 weeks ago, those comments, I'm with you. It was horrific. They were awful. It was like words don't even, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time coming up with the words. It was disgusting. It was very hard, very painful for all of us, and I'm sure some more than others, to sit here and listen to that. And I was looking over every 10 to 15 seconds at my city attorney. Can we yet? And there are certain things that if we were a business, we could say, out of here, off. We get to determine who we serve or we don't serve, or who we listen to or we don't listen to. In government, we don't have that that freedom. And in essence, most of the time that works really well. That's a good thing. We want to hear from everybody. Clearly, that's not what we want to hear. That's not what we're welcoming. That does not represent our community. We don't even know who those people are. And I'll bet you they are not from our community. And they do not represent Atascadero and the kind of people that we are, the loving, respectful community that we are. So I am sorry that all of us had to sit through that. And as the city manager and the city attorney said, we are trying to navigate our way through this. How do you balance giving people access to meetings and not end up with something like that again? And many cities throughout the state of California are grappling with this and trying to figure it out. And we're doing the best we can, and we ask for your grace and patience. The next speaker was Randy, and I didn't catch Randy's last name, but I would ask our public works director if you could get together with Randy and discuss some of those issues and maybe either answer some questions and see if there's some things that we could do. Yes, Heilman Park is the county's. Mr. Hagee, with regards to the 101 off-ramp by Chevron, we actually do have a plan for that area, and so if we do need to cut some weeds, maybe we could
We've actually scheduled that work as part of our contract work, so we agree.
Excellent.
We are not subject to not following our law, so we will get that done. It's scheduled, and it will be something amazing in the future.
Yes, we have some good plans for that area. Let's see. Mr. Oslin wanted some clarification on the July 4th weekend, so I think with regards to the El Camino and what's going on and what would be streets open, could you let us know, Mr. DeBar?
You're working over the weekend, so unless some emergency happens, they'll have that weekend off.
So everything will be open and usable.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Be
that's what we want to know.
Free flowing traffic way and access to Entrada and all the other shopping areas.
Okay. Thank you. And then finally, Mr. Ledger, that is something we're working on, trying to bring together people of the horse community, the Beaver Brigade, motorcyclists, and figuring out how can everybody use this area respectfully, mindful of the environment and mindful of one another, in terms of us being able to, police or staff that and every single entrance and anybody using that area. We don't have capacity to do that. So we are working as the best we can to create those relationships and encourage folks to be using it responsibly. I believe we are doing the police are taking some action when need be, but maybe just a quick comment from our Mr. Wilshusen. So
yes, the police department is responding to calls for service when we do receive them. We're making it a point to get as far down on the river as we can to make contact to make contact with any of the violators down there.
Okay. And if anybody wants to be, you know, has any questions about that, please reach out to the city manager's office and we can let you know specifically what we're doing, okay? Thank you. And with that, I think I got everybody on community forum.
I had a quick follow-on question.
Sure.
Regarding weekend work, notwithstanding July 4th holiday weekend, on most weekends they will not be working, correct? Or will they be?
That is correct. They typically work Monday through Friday. 7 a.m. they can start. There's a noise ordinance that goes out of effect at 7 a.m. So they won't start before 7 a.m. unless we allow them to do that. But there'll be some special... I don't see that happening on this project. And then Saturday and Sunday, they don't work those days. They'd have to pay their workers overtime and everything else. So.
And so in general, they're also going to be cutting off like 5, because I came down this afternoon, you know, all tied up. Came down here right now for the meeting.
Yep.
Clear as a bell.
Yep, they're gone usually by 5. So unless there's a long day and they're having difficulty with something that they're trying to complete so they can open up the roads, they typically work 7 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, we are moving on to our first public hearing of the night, which is the Dove Creek Mixed Use Project. I will first ask if there's any ex parte communications to disclose. I will say that all of us received approximately, I'm going to say, 24-ish emails, you know, both in favor of and not in favor of the project, and we'll be bringing up those you know, issues as the night progresses. But I will ask, outside of that, is there any additional ex parte? And I'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Yeah, two things. I ran into some Dove Creek residents at the wine festival, and we chatted about the current status of discussions between the homeowners association and the developers of the project. And I also had a conference call this morning with the developers of the project to follow up on some questions of items that had come up in public comment at the design review committee, and that we will bring into the record tonight.
Thank you, Councilmember Borbeau.
No, just the emails, and there were times in the past, but it was mostly on the prior project proposal where I had discussion with residents.
Okay. So. And Councilmember Darris?
No, just the emails, no ex parte otherwise.
Okay. And for me, it was the emails, and I did have a conversation with one resident today briefly, but no added information that would be necessary to bring in. All right. So let's move on with our staff report, and I'll turn this over to our planning manager, Kelly Gleason, and our senior planner, Fowler. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Mayor.
It's nice to see a new face at our council meeting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Xandria is actually going to give the presentation for this project. I think it's 2024, so I think this has been 20 years in the making, perhaps. So she'll go through the presentation and some details, and then we'll be happy to answer questions after. With that, I'll turn it over to Xandria.
Well, thank you for waiting for me to arrive at the city as an employee to bring forth this item. So tonight we have the Dove Creek Mixed Use Project. It is located at 11600 through 11700 El Camino Real, and the project number is DEV23-0079. The project is located on a vacant 5.19-acre property located at the intersection of Santa Barbara Road and El Camino Real in the Dove Creek neighborhood. The site is also bordered by Bliss and Cashin Streets, which are two of the main entry roadways into the Dove Creek neighborhood. The general plan land use designation is mixed use and planned development, and the zoning is commercial retail combined with the planned development number 12 overlay. The project consists of 14,840 square feet of commercial tenant space, 20 short-term rental hotel units, and 71 residential units with a mix of 1 and 2 bedrooms. The majority of the commercial tenant space is within a single-story building with a mezzanine adjacent to El Camino Real. There is also a small single-story building proposed for a coffee shop tenant located near the center of the site next to the larger commercial building. The 20 hotel units all have kitchens and are located in a three-story building in the center of the site. The building also contains the proposed market and deli commercial tenant space. The residential units are located in four separate buildings. The two residential buildings are fronting Cashin Street, and they are two stories. There's a residential building that fronts Bliss Street that is also two stories, and there's finally a residential building that fronts Santa Barbara Road, and it is three stories. The applicant has requested the following land use entitlements: a zoning amendment to plan development number 12 overlay zone to update the allowable land uses for the project site, a conditional use permit to amend the existing Dove Creek master plan of development to allow for the proposed mix of residential and commercial uses, specifically to allow residential units on the ground floor, hotel units with kitchens, and to modify the parking requirement as a result of the shared parking allowance. And lastly, a vesting tentative tract map to subdivide the property into seven lots for the future further subdivision of the property into residential and commercial condominiums. Over the past 25 years, the vision for the area that we know as Dove Creek has evolved. Under the current 2025 general plan that was adopted before the Dove Creek master plan of development was approved, the land use mix was 300,000 square feet of commercial uses and up to 200 residential units. The large amount of commercial square footage was intended to accommodate a regional shopping center for the North County, with a Costco and Trader Joe's as the major anticipated tenants. When the Villages of Dove Creek Master Plan of Development was approved in 2004, the land use mix was reduced to 60,000 square feet of commercial uses on the project site and 279 residential units throughout the rest of the Dove Creek development area. The allowable residential units increased because the project received a density bonus and committed to developing 20 very low income units. This slide shows the existing development entitlement for the project site, which allows up to 60,000 square feet of commercial uses to be constructed with building permits only. In 2008, there was an amendment to allow the site to be developed with a 19,000 square foot tractor supply store, as well as 20,000 square feet of outdoor sales area and up to 20,000 square feet of other commercial uses. To date, only the residential portion of the project, of the project area has been developed. When the vacant commercial property changed owners in 2019, the proposal was submitted to the city for a land use mix that included 37,000 square feet of commercial, a 100-room hotel, and 80 residential units above a parking garage. The proposal was reviewed by the DRC and the community. The applicant used the feedback received from that 2019 proposal to develop the proposal that is being presented to council for consideration this evening. The commercial component that is being proposed with this project is 5% of what was the general plan's originally planned site for the site, commercial area for the site, and 25% of what was previously approved in 2004 and with the amendment in 2008. The project was submitted to the planning department in July of 2023 and was reviewed by the DRC at a public hearing in September of 2023, where the DRC recommended that the project proceed through the entitlement process. Based on comments received during the DRC review and the applicant, based on comments received during the DRC review, the applicant refined the project proposal. The refined project proposal was reviewed by the Planning Commission at its hearing on May 21st, 2024. It should be noted that the Planning Commission action was limited to a recommendation instead of final action due to the request for a zoning text amendment to Plan Development Number 12 overlay, because all zoning amendments require final action by the City Council. Otherwise, the project could have received entitlements at the Planning Commission level. The Planning Commission recommends that the City Council approve the project and that the Council modify Condition Number 11 to allow the project to construct the majority of the proposed residential units before they construct the commercial buildings. That condition with those modifications are included in your staff report packet. The Planning Commission also requests that the Council consider adding a condition that would require a local hotel manager, since the proposed hotel would operate like an Airbnb-style short-term rental, with guests booking their reservations solely online and having no direct contact with the hotel operator, instead of the traditional hotel operation where a hotel staff are on-site and available to guests and anyone else 24/7. The request was that the result of the Commission's deliberation regarding public comments, concerns about responses should the hotel guest or residents experience any issues. The staff report analysis goes into detail regarding multiple discussion topics, but this presentation will focus on the list of key discussion topics shown on the slide, which are site design, residential amenity spaces, landscape design, architectural design, signage gateways, hotel use, plan development number 12 overlay zone text amendment, the subdivision request, affordable housing, and fiscal impact. The Dove Creek development was designed to restrict the number of access roads along Santa Barbara Road and El Camino Real due to traffic conflicts with existing adjacent intersections and topographic constraints when it was originally approved back in 2004. Access to the project site was from three driveways, one on Bliss and two off Cashin Street. All access rights were granted as part of the original track map for the Dove Creek development. As proposed, the project eliminates the second driveway off Cashin Street and maintains the one driveway at each street to focus vehicular traffic onto the site and to provide additional landscape area, as shown in the large double-sided arrows. The internal circulation includes a looped access drive, allowing for parking adjacent to all site uses, and that is shown in the arrows and dashes. The required parking calculation based on the proposed mix of uses is 160 spaces. The applicant is proposing to provide 178 parking spaces on site. As conditioned, all parking spaces will be shared between the uses, except for the tandem spaces near the Santa Barbara Road, shown in the purple oval at the bottom of your screen. The residential garages with the three-story residential building, which are shown in the blue oval towards the bottom of your screen, and the short-term pickup spaces for commercial uses. Pedestrian connections, as shown by the green arrows, are from the existing Dove Creek neighborhood onto the site and are provided via a main Paseo entrance aligned with the roundabout at the intersection of Bliss and Cashin Streets, adjacent to the main vehicular entrances, and a mid-block pathway roughly aligned with Salvia Lane at Cashin Street. A pedestrian connection is also shown in by the yellow arrows, and those are located on El Camino Real and Santa Barbara Road, where the project sits at grade with the adjacent existing sidewalks. Due to the mixed-use nature of the project, modification to the standards for recreational open space are permitted when shared commercial, residential, outdoor spaces and amenities are provided. For the proposed project, each residential unit has a private balcony or court. All residential units are shown in the yellow, and the private balconies for each unit are shown in gray right next to those yellow blocks. Each building and all common areas have ample landscaping. The hotel guest amenities, like the fitness room, will be available to all on-site residents. The central pedestrian paseos and communal gathering areas, shown under the blue circles, will be available to all guests. Restaurants, existing Dove Creek restaurant patrons, existing Dove Creek residents, and commercial tenant customers, as well as residents. The applicant is proposing an extensive landscape plan that utilizes landscape setbacks ranging in size from 13 feet to 46 feet as buffers and transition spaces between the proposed residential development and the existing Dove Creek residence along Bliss and Cashin Streets. And those setbacks are reflected with the red arrows that are just showing the gradation of the setbacks from smaller in one area to larger in others. The landscapes areas incorporate layered planting that include a mix of trees, shrubs, grasses, perennials, and ground cover. The proposed hardscape includes a pedestrian bridge near the roundabout, walkways throughout the project site, and a plaza with enhanced surfaces such as pavers and concrete treatments. The proposed amenities that will be accessible to project residents, hotel guests, commercial patrons, and the community are seat walls, fire pits for gatherings, climbing elements for children, and communal table areas. The project includes a 20-room hotel and a 3-story building that is located in the center of the project site under the purple circle. The applicant is requesting that each hotel unit have a full kitchen and that the hotel operate like an Airbnb unit where an on-site manager is not available 24/7. Approval of the requirement for kitchens in 100% of the units requires the council to make specific findings and can only be permitted if the hotel allows 20 or more units. And those findings are included in your resolutions. The hotel is located in an area of the city where no other hotels exist currently. Moving on to the architectural design, starting with the commercial. The proposed commercial buildings have an agrarian and barn-inspired architectural theme with gable roof forms and earth-toned colors. A combination of 1- and 2-story elements are incorporated into the design for a variety of height and to extend the upper floor use areas. Building materials include standing seam metal siding, wood siding, concrete base, and corrugated metal to add multiple textures and colors to the design palette. Metal awnings and railings are used to enhance the design theme and provide shade and shadow. The central commercial building courtyard roof includes vertical louvers for sun control and to add visual interest. Roll-up doors are included for tenant space flexibility. Regarding signage, the master plan of development includes areas for signage located on the concept elevations of the buildings. This is an example of the proposed signage areas of the mixed-use hotel and commercial tenant building. Future signage is conditioned to be compatible with the design package elevations with flexibility for alternative tenant sign configurations. Signage will be individually lettered or logos located above storefront awnings. A larger sign is proposed on the courtyard roof structure as an entry to the main commercial tenant for the space. All signage is conditioned to be externally lit with downward lighting to increase compatibility with adjacent residential and the potential hotel use. Residential and hotel buildings include similar materials but incorporate stucco features to contrast the commercial retail tenant space facade treatments. The residential buildings along Bliss and Cashin Street are limited to 2 stories in height with reduced structural massing to preserve the existing neighborhood character. Designed with private balconies and courts, each unit, in addition to the ample landscaped area, designed with private balconies and courts for each unit, in addition to the ample landscaped area surrounding the residential buildings. Hotel amenities will also be available to on-site residents, as well as the central pedestrian paseos. Now moving on to the gateway feature that's proposed. The corner of Santa Barbara Road and El Camino Real mark the southern entrance to the city. A gateway monument made of Corten steel panels resembling the hills of Atascadero is proposed by the applicant. The main panel includes the city logo and the words City of Atascadero as a gateway feature. An internally illuminated tower element with the words Dove Creek is also proposed as a placemaking project sign. The proposed low-level uplighting to the proposed low-level uplighting will be used to highlight the panels and the city name logo as consistent with the city's lighting standards. Landscaping is used to accent the feature and to screen the parking area behind it. Now moving on to the plan development number 12 amendment proposal. The current PD number 12 lists all allowable uses list allowable uses includes many of the uses that are outdated or no longer defined in the municipal code. The proposed amendment combines existing allowable uses and new uses that are allowable or conditionally allowable. All of the new uses are highlighted. The list also identifies the three uses that require a conditional use permit, such as multifamily dwellings. The proposed list use ensures compatibility and consistency with the current municipal code definitions. The curated list of uses are compatible with the existing residential neighborhood and achieve general plan goals for the city's southern gateway. The proposed 7-lot tentative tract map includes 4 residential lots for the 71 residential condominium units, and that is shown in yellow. 2 commercial lots for the hotel and commercial tenants units are shown in red, and the remainder of the area is the 1 common space lot for the shared parking, landscaping, and internal infrastructure. A condition of approval has been included to require the applicant to record CCNRs when the final map is recorded to address maintenance and access of common areas. Additionally, the project is conditioned to negotiate a shared maintenance agreement with the existing Dove Creek HOAs for fair share costs associated with the ongoing maintenance of Bliss and Cashin Streets, including frontage landscaping. The project site is identified as part of the housing site inventory and the housing element. Being part of the inventory assumes residential development of at least 50 units for this specific site. Based on the density of the project, the state assumes that any housing developed on this site would be within an affordable housing income category range and would contribute to the city's regional housing needs allocation. Of the 71 proposed residential units, 24 of them are 810 square feet in size, which means they are considered to be affordable by design at a moderate income rate. The City Council inclusionary housing policy requires affordable units for any residential development that requires a legislative approval. The requested text amendment to the plan development number 12 overlay triggers that requirement for this specific project. Therefore, the applicant has the option to comply with the city's policy or to comply with the state density bonus program, which would result in approximately 7 units at a moderate rate. The applicant is requesting that the council be flexible in its application of the policy, since at least a third of the proposed units will qualify as ownership units in the moderate income rate category already. The project is expected to generate revenue from the collection of transit occupancy tax from the hotel units and sales tax from the retail commercial uses. The residential uses will be annexed as conditioned into the existing community facilities district to offset the cost of services associated with those new residential uses. A mitigated negative declaration was certified by the City Council on September 14, 2004. That mitigated negative declaration evaluated the entire Dove Creek Master Plan and specifically analyzed the potential impacts of commercial development on the project site that included up to 60,000 square feet of future commercial retail space, including a 26,500 square foot anchor tenant. While the residential villages identified in the analyzed project have been built and occupied as planned, the commercial center was pre-graded but never developed and is now the location of the proposed mixed-use project. A supplemental comparative analysis has been provided to evaluate whether the project would result in a greater impact to resources than was previously identified in the mitigated negative declaration. Those supplemental documents were a trip generation comparison that was prepared to estimate vehicle trips under the proposed project versus the original commercial center. The proposed project is anticipated to generate 929 fewer AM and PM peak hour trips daily than the previously approved commercial center. The other analysis that was conducted was a sewer capacity analysis, which revealed no major potential impacts on the city's existing collection system. Additionally, the hydraulic modeling prepared for the project shows that the existing 8-inch and 10-inch sewers downstream of the project site have sufficient capacity to accommodate increased flows associated with the project. Therefore, staff concluded that no additional CEQA was necessary for this project. To conclude the summary of the staff report analysis, the mixed-use project provides the city with a key opportunity for placemaking at the south entrance of the city on the property that has remained undeveloped for over 20 years. The proposed mixed use of commercial uses will provide goods and services to the surrounding residential neighborhood as well as tourists. The proposed residential uses will help the city achieve its housing production goals. Some highlights of the project are the pedestrian-oriented design, tourist-serving accommodations, and significant setbacks between the existing and proposed residential uses that create buffers from the hotel and retail uses and the existing Dove Creek neighborhood. The requested approval action associated with the project are amendment to the plan development number 12 zone text, a conditional use permit amending the master plan of development, parking modification for the shared parking required space reduction, allowance of 100% of the short-term hotel units to have full kitchens inside, a vesting tentative track map creating 7 lots with airspace condominiums, and a consistency determination with the previously certified mitigated negative declaration. The Planning Commission is recommending the City Council introduce for first reading by title only a draft ordinance amending Title 9 of the Atascadero Municipal Code by approving text amendments to the Plan Development Number 12 Overlay Zone. We would also like to add that the recommendation should include correcting a typographical error on the agenda page 201, which is Attachment 1A, Exhibit A. It should state in section 9-3.657G7 microbrewery/brewpub. Inadvertently, microbrewery was deleted from that and it wasn't meant to be. This recommendation from the Planning Commission is based on the findings that have been provided to you. Additionally, the recommendation is to adopt a draft resolution approving a conditional use permit to amend the Dove Creek Master Plan of Development for the Dove Creek Commercial Parcel, modifying the parking requirement and hotel development standards, and approving the vesting tentative track map for a 7-lot condominium airspace subdivision. Staff finds the project to, and also finding the project to be consistent with the previously certified mitigated negative declaration prepared for the Dove Creek development project based on findings and subject to conditions of approval that are also included in your resolution. This concludes staff's presentation. I'm available for any questions that you may have. The applicant is also in the audience and does have a presentation that they would like to make to your council.
Thank you very much. Very thorough presentation. Appreciate the breadth of information there. So let's start with questions that we would have of staff, and then we can move to the applicant. So I'll start on my right with Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Sure. thank you for that excellent presentation, Andrea. I have a couple of things. I've